All right, welcome everybody. We are here back after a long time with the ProSum Workouts podcast, maybe actually even our first official podcast. And we have Coach Andrew with us. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. I will let you do this yourself. I'm going to butcher it for sure. But yeah, welcome, Andrew, and maybe just let everybody know who you are.
Thanks, Diego. Appreciate it. The last name is pronounced Sheaf. Like chief, but with an S. I've been coaching coming up on, almost 20 years now, and just kind of exploring, how to help swimmers go fast. And in particular, I learned pretty early on that skill development is going to be a huge part of why swimmers go fast. And so I've been particularly fascinated with that area. One, in terms of just identifying what skills matter, and then, more importantly, figuring out how to actually help swimmers learn how to develop those skills and actually get them to show up in races. Because a lot of times, we just start out doing some drills and we think that solves the problem. But really, if things don't show up in races, it doesn't really matter. And so that's what I've been really trying to focus on and help, one, figure out for myself how I can more reliably and consistently do that, and then also help other coaches do the same.
Well, awesome. Great. Yeah, I think what most people probably know you maybe in the swimming coaching community right now is a recent book that you published, right? And we will get to this. And now you have something to offer out of this book. And I wanted just to let people know that we try to record this in like one go, but it's going to be three separate parts, right? And this first part, we really try to get to know you a little bit more so we know who we're talking to. I figure a lot of the American US-based coaches, they probably know who you are. You've been coaching before you kind of went out of collegiate coaching with a very good team. So people probably know who you are, but maybe let's start at the beginning a little bit more. Tell us a little bit about your own experience as a swimmer.
Sure. So I actually I did a little bit of summer league swimming when I was younger, and I started and then kind of got out of that. And I actually started swimming seriously when I was about 15. And so that was kind of an experience that, really shaped kind of how I saw the sport, because I was a pretty good athlete in the sense of like from a physical standpoint, but I was, so far behind from a swimming standpoint in terms of the skills and all that. And so, I didn't really understand that was important. And so I just kind of like worked hard and relied on, some of my physical attributes to kind of continue to improve. And sooner than later, that pretty much ran out. And I was kind of forced to accept and start to deal with the fact that, I was just, a terrible swimmer, especially from a technical standpoint. And so that really started me down the process and the path of how to, improve these skills. And it was, entirely a selfish thing. I just wanted to see if I could find a way to go faster. And so I started to see some success with that. And that only kind of reinforced that I was on the right path. And then I kind of went from there and became more and more obsessed with, what creates fast swimming, especially from a skill standpoint. And then how do we actually help swimmers? And in that case, and initially, how do I help myself figure out how to actually do these things when swimming?
So from what I read, you did pretty well still for yourself in your swimming career. You ended up going to University of Pittsburgh, but I also read you hold degrees in exercise science, right? So was like this what you just described, was this what made you choose that degree, that interest, or was it more of kind of a general interest in sports and coaching?
Yeah, and so when I first went to school, I was more oriented towards like math and science. I thought I'd do something like that. And then I just kind of realized that I was spending all sorts of time thinking about and reading about, swimming and coaching. And then I just kind of came to the conclusion that I could, this is something that if I'm going to spend all this time and energy, regardless, it's probably something that I can pursue and think about. And, I wasn't entirely set on exactly what I wanted to do. And then, I had the opportunity to go to graduate school, and there was the opportunity to get it paid for, and by doing research, And then I was also able to volunteer. This was at the University of Maryland at the same time. And so my thought process was, well, I'm not really sure if I'm going to love coaching because I hadn't, you know, done it at a real or a high level at all. But I was going to, you know, go through this process and get a graduate degree, not really have any debt. And I was going to find out if, you know, if I wanted to coach. And worst case was I was going to have a master's degree and, you know, not like miss out on two years of my life, but I would have had better, more clarity about what I wanted to do. And so that's kind of how I got into it and ended up having a great experience, really enjoyed it. And so, you know, after finishing school, you know, it was just kind of, you know, the next step was figuring out how to coach. And kind of back to your original question, it's like, it was just stuff I was already interested in, already reading about, already, you know, engaged with. And so it made sense to me to just continue down that path and continue exploring those things. And most of it was more from a physiology side as opposed to like the skill development side, but that's obviously still a huge part of, you know, swimming performance. And later on, you know, a big challenge I had was how do you kind of marry the skill stuff and the physiology stuff. So that was, you know, a big part of kind of where I'm, you know, to the point I've come to today.
And interestingly, I think that's maybe something that a lot of people don't know if they never read the bio about you or something like that. You also went to gather some experience in coaching or training outside of swimming.
Yeah.
Is that true, right?
Yeah, yeah. So part of the, you know, to graduate for my undergraduate degree is you had to do some sort of like practical experience. And at the school I was going to, there was actually a pretty well-known strength and conditioning coach that was working with the football team. He had experience in the NFL. And until recently he was in the NFL. And he was really well-known, really well, you know, really knowledgeable about a lot of things. And so it was an opportunity to, I mean, one, I had to do it, but two, that was a perfect, you know, I could have ended up doing something where I was like working at an outpatient, you know, like cardiac rehab center or something like that, which would have fulfilled it, but something I had no interest in. And so it was perfect because it was not only in sports, but it was in, you know, it's with someone who was really, really well, well-versed and really experienced with, high level athlete preparation. And so it gave me a different perspective, especially because, you know, every sport approaches things a little bit differently. And, you know, and there's always something to learn because they're all trying to solve the same problems, but they have different problems or the problems are a little bit different. And so they take different approaches, but you can apply the same concepts to swimming. And so that was really, you know, eye-opening for me and gave me a totally different perspective on, you know, how we do things. Cause you know, if you're only exposed to swimming stuff, you know, that there's so much value in that. However, it's great to have a different perspective because you can start to see things a little bit differently. And so kind of got into that. And then, you know, through a roundabout ways, I had the opportunity to do some stuff in the NFL right after I graduated. And so that was kind of just a continuation of that, you know, that education.
Cool. So also I was wondering, you said you consider yourself not like the greatest swimmer, right? And you wanted to upskill yourself, but now, after many years of coaching, how important do you think it is to be a successful swimmer, to be a successful coach?
Right, right. So I think I guess people have different opinions about this because it's not a simple answer. So I think the better you are as a swimmer, there's like you're going to experience things that other, you know, less skilled swimmers are not going to experience. I think what matters is whether someone has awareness of that and whether they can articulate that. Because if, you know, if I can do something amazing in anything, but I can't articulate how I do that, it doesn't really matter. And so I think, you know, perhaps the ideal would be someone who was competitive at a really high level, but also, you know, in some ways had to really struggle to do that. And they had to problem solve. They had to go through like that because then they understand basically how they got there. And, you know, they achieved and experienced things that others didn't. So I think that it really kind of depends. You know, those type of experiences and the ability to do certain things is definitely valuable because you understand things at a deeper level. you also have to be the, you know, have to have the ability to communicate those things. And with everything, like, you can make up for, you know, for the shortcomings of it too. And so if you have very little competitive experience, or you swam at a very low level, you know, you just have to be aware of that, and then try to find ways to figure out what you didn't experience and what you didn't learn, and how to communicate that. And likewise, at the other extreme, if you could do things really well, but you can't communicate it, well, then you just have to figure out how to communicate it. And so I don't think that anything is definitive. It's all about, like, you know, what are the advantages and disadvantages of your experience, and how are you going to, you know, try to solve those problems?
Awesome. Yeah, great. So at one point, you were volunteering in Marion, right, while still going to school.
Yep.
And eventually you ended up going to Bucknell University. And then I think you kind of got into, right, because you keep having opportunities. You end up going to Northwestern University, which is, for people that don't know outside the U.S., is really a high academic university, but that has a very high functioning swim team as well. And after that, you ended up being at University of Virginia and helping build the powerhouse that most people know today, right?
Right.
Could you maybe just go through the different stages a little bit in your coaching, and maybe just tell us a little bit about some mentors, you know, that you had along the way, and some learnings maybe from each that helped you to take the next step and improve yourself to get these opportunities?
Sure. And so I think a lot of it is, you know, a huge part of it is just being around and getting to know people. You know, in every case, every job that I've ever gotten was because, you know, basically someone had nice things to say about me, and they knew, you know, and then they knew the person that they needed to say those nice things to. And so I think that's going to be a really important aspect of it. And so being around people that you want to be around is kind of the trick, and you have to figure out how to do that in whatever way you can. And so, you know, like you mentioned, I volunteered at the University of Maryland while going to grad school. If I had not done that, and if I had just tried to get a job right away, it would have been a lot more difficult. You know, some people are fortunate that they're in the situation where they do have, you know, a name and connections and that people would recognize. But if you don't, like, that, you're going to have to find a way to get started with that. And I think the other important aspect of it is, you know, you have to try to expand your skill set as much as you can, because just because you know someone, if they're not impressed by you in any way, it doesn't really matter. And so I think, you know, no one's going to take the only person that's going to be responsible for your, you know, for your abilities as a coach and your growth in your career is you. And so that's where it's always like, what can you learn? How can you strive to become a better coach in whatever way possible? You know, that's always going to be an investment in the future that's always well worth making.
Cool. That's really good. So then as we will slowly move into the second part and go to your book, maybe you can just kind of tell us a little bit from your point of view, what do you think are, like, important skills for coaches to have, right? We kind of touched on it a little bit. And then also in connection with that, what would you recommend to a young coach starting out just now, which we also touched a little bit, but, you know, there are different, I guess you could try to go the collegiate way if you're in the US, right? There's club swimming, there's even YMCA swimming in the US. There's a lot more options in the US than maybe in other countries, but just kind of, if someone starts out right now, and it could be that it's not someone who is studying anything sports related in school, right? I think a lot of coaches actually
don't,
are in that. They don't, right? They just kind of fall into coaching. So maybe just for people starting out, what is, like, your top three tips and things to consider when you're starting out?
Right. So to me, I think the most important skills are, skills as a coach is, one is to understand the very basics of what creates fast swimming in terms of, like, what are the really important skills that really matter. And then as much as possible, be able to see them, in person or on video or whatever it is. And for me, the easiest way that you can do that and learn to do that, as quickly and as, you know, in some ways, with as minimal obstacles as possible is, one, you've got YouTube where, like, they literally show all of the fastest swim, like, you know, that's how I developed my, you know, my ability to see skills, how, you know, however good or not good that is I just watch so much swimming on the internet because it's, you know, it's free and you can, every major race you can watch. And a lot of them have underwater footage. There's so many opportunities to be able to like see these skills. And the other thing is just to, you know, whether it's, again, you can watch videos that depending on how you like to learn, or just buy, you know, the kind of the classic books and just, you know, literally just Google swimming books and you'll find a list of 20. And it's like, you can just read those. And there's plenty of, you know, video tutorials about how to see and understand these skills too. And so it's just, you don't need to go to school for it. You just need to take the time to expose yourself to that. And so I think that that's a huge thing that is free. The only thing it costs you is time and effort. But that's going to be the same with anything if you want to be good at it. So I think that, you know, understanding the really important skills is going to be extremely valuable. And then the second step of that is, how do you actually, you know, develop those skills? And it's still kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, there's you know, videos, there's books, a lot of different organizations, you know, whether it's ASCA or ISCA or, you know, any of these organizations, they usually sell relatively cheaply. Like, you can get talks from coaches, you can buy the books that coaches give. And so learning from other people. And if you have coaches that you know, it's like, hey, I want to work on this skill. What do you do to help solve that problem? And then you just start to accumulate, you know, a bunch of solutions, and then you have to try them and see what you find works, what works for you or works with your swimmers. And then the third piece is kind of the training standpoint, is you have to figure out how to like develop these skills in a practice while developing swimmers fitness. And again, like it's books, videos, talk to coaches. Like, there's no definitive way to do that. It's more about figuring out, you know, what are the problems that you're facing right now? And there's, you know, Wayne Goldsmith, I think, he's a swimming, someone who's a consultant in swimming. And like, one of the things that he talks about is everything you've ever wanted to know is available for free on the internet. And that's true with swim coaching as well. And so you just have to be kind of consistent and, really, you know, really effective at finding that information. And, you know, it's out there, and you just have to apply that to what you're trying to do.
Awesome. I think that's a great advice for anybody, no matter the age or how long you have been in coaching. So awesome. Now that we know who you are, I think we will transition to the next part and talk a little bit more about your book. And as I said in the beginning, these will be like separate parts. So, you will maybe have to wait a little bit till the new part comes out once you hear this. But yeah, for sure, listen back for the next part.